We're going to be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 28, verses 5 and 8, and then 17 to 19. So let me get into that for you this morning. It says, when Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. He required of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or prophets. Saul then said to his attendants, find me a woman who is a medium so I may go and inquire of her. There was one in Endor, they said. So Saul disguised himself, putting on other clothes, and at night he and two men went to the woman. Consult the spirit for me, he said, and bring up for me the one I name. And going to verse 17. The Lord has done what he has predicted through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hands and given it to one of your neighbors, to David. Because you did not obey the Lord or carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites, the Lord has done this to you today. The Lord will deliver both Israel and you into the hands of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also give the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. So, let me tell you today, I need you to know that God is with you. God is with us, even if leaders fail and fall around us, or sometimes he seems silent. When you experience God's silence, I would love it if we take the opportunity to grow in our faith in him. That we take that time to settle in and learn about his character. There have been times in our lives where we can be in positions where we feel like God is not with us. But I want to tell you today that he is with you. He is with us. And when he's silent, those are the most difficult times. And that's why we've talked in the past about continuing our regular disciplines of prayer and scripture reading. Because in those times of silence, that's when we need to be having those disciplines in place so that we're able to walk through those low times in our lives. There are many times in our lives where we don't know what the next stage is, where we don't know where we're going, what we're doing, how we're going to get there, what God wants for us. Many times in our lives it'll happen like that. And we want to know to God, what is your plan for my life? Where do I go from here? How can I do any of this without direction? 1 Samuel concludes around the end of Saul's reign with a few stories after our chapter 20, with chapter 29, 30. And it talks about how he's walking through. It's his final time, and God has basically said, it's over for you. And there's a contrast in this between King Saul and the new coming king, David. And this story is very strange when you look through a lot of the scriptures, because Saul decides he's going to talk to a medium. Samuel's prophecy of Saul, that Saul is going to die in the hands of the Philistines, and he's caught up in this, and he needs an answer. And so he goes to this medium. And as 1 Samuel ends, as we go through the rest of the chapters, it gives us a glimpse of the different types of leadership between King Saul and what King David is going to be like in the end. Saul's decision to seek a medium, to seek a fortune teller, a spiritual advisor, whatever it may be, is the first place where he proves that he has a total lack of confidence in God and what God is doing and God's will for his life and his willingness himself, Saul, to even take responsibility for his actions. This passage presents Saul with an unexpectedly common struggle that we all can go through in times in our life, and it's, what do we do when God is silent? And what does Saul do? Well, he takes the opportunity here to go outside of God's advisory. But at this point in his life, he does have a moment where he could actually check his heart and turn back to God and trust in him. And instead, like he seems to be doing on a regular basis, he chooses to take things into his own hands. And man, it is difficult to trust God when he is silent in our lives. But it's also the most important chance and time for us to grow in our faith in him. Maybe you're having those types of feelings now because of the pandemic that's happening and just different things that are happening around us and in the world. Maybe you feel like God is not listening because of all the uprising all over the place, mostly in the States. And maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you're struggling to see what God wants for you. And there's times in our lives where we're going to be there. We've all had it, and we will continue to have those times. But in the face of God's silence, Saul chooses to go in another direction and seek from a different type of spiritual advisor, which, by the way, he knows is wrong. He knows, he's stated that the people are not to do that, and yet he goes and does it. Why does he do it? Because he's at his wit's end. He needs answers, and so he disguises himself and goes out in the night. So because he knows, Saul is very aware of what he is doing. In verse 8, he disguises himself. How many times are we in the same situation where we are willing to do wrong because we need something? We're desperate for an answer, so we'll choose to go and have it and do it our way. How many times in your life have you done that? We've all done it. But Saul seeks this different type of guidance in his attempt at hearing from God. And it continues to be completely disingenuine in his relationship and in what he thinks God's character is. And I think the reason why Saul did that and took matters into his own hand is because of ego. He was desperate, and God wasn't responding to him. And it goes deeper than that. When it feels like God is absent, we're tempted to believe that he really, truly is absent, not there. And we'll try anything to get the answers. And atheists will believe you that the reason why God seems silent is because he is absent. Well, I'm here to tell you today that he is not absent. And who are we to say to God, just because I call on you, you have to answer me? Now, we get confused with these sometimes. Jesus says, knock and I'll open the door. But Jesus doesn't say, knock and I'll open the door immediately because you knocked on the door. There are many times, and maybe you've done the same. I've been at home, somebody's knocked on my door, and I did not answer because I felt silence would be more appropriate in that situation. In our relationship with God, if we're knocking on the door, he can say, you're just going to have to hang on before I answer. Maybe there's something he's preparing. Maybe he's doing something for you or for others. Why do we feel that we need to demand God to do things? That's not our right. We cannot demand answers from God. I think that when we are in silent suffering season, we can be like tempted to believe that God is not there, but he is there. We need to step back and take a look. We need to step back, get a different perspective, because I'll tell you right now, creation is not silent. Is not silent. Creation is loud. I don't know if you've been online recently, but scientists are listening in space, and it is not silent. There's noise coming back. There's waves. There's things happening. They're listening in space in a place that is dead silent. There's noise. He's not absent. When you walk outside your door, every day, things are happening. Creation is too complicated to happen by accident. It's not possible. And I'll tell you right now, Romans chapter 1, verses 20 is very clear. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. You see, believing that God is not present or believing that he doesn't exist is like believing in the flat earth theory. Have you ever been through the prairies? You can see Winnipeg for miles, for days, for what it's there. We're going to get there, but it doesn't seem to come. And then when you get there, you're just really disappointed. Anyways, but it's flat and you can see it. So from that perspective, guess what? The world is flat. If we can step outside that, we'll see there's a different perspective. And the only reason we know that the world is round is because of authoritative scientific revelation and proof. As in, we've gone up into space, we've seen it, it's a big ball. Why would we have a square earth and a round moon? It doesn't make sense. But our perspective. And you see, there's a unique danger that some people face when they enter into a season of God's silence. And this is where Saul is, and we can do it too. And he chose wrong. We can rely on someone else's faith for our answers that we're looking for from God. Saul, when he came into difficulty, he continually relied on someone else's relationship with God. He did not have a good relationship with God, or maybe even one that had some meat in it. He had to go to everybody else and ask. That's why he goes to a medium. He had difficulty. And then when we look at David, we see that, yes, he made mistakes, and I think sometimes we make him into bigger than what, but he had a great relationship with God, and when he made mistakes, he was quick to ask forgiveness. He was quick to change, and we've talked about that as well. There may be a time in our life when leaders, everyone around us, and everything is failing around us, and everything is falling, and God seems absent. How will you respond? How will you respond? Will you turn towards God because you've been in his word, praying? Or will you turn towards something else? And, you know, maybe fortune tellers aren't that popular nowadays. I have no idea. But maybe you turn to personal power. It's just going to be me. I'm going to be the one that makes it all happen. Or maybe you turn to money or other spiritual ideas, and because they're quick to grab onto. And somebody just told you, instead of being in the word. How will you respond today if things are silent? What will you do? My challenge for you this week is, no matter what, stay true. Stay true to the word. Stay true to prayer. And when God is silent, dig in deeper. Dig in deeper to his word. Get to know his character more. And then these things won't be such a surprise to us when they happen. And we'll be ready to stand firm in the good times and in the times where he is silent and we have no idea, which is a lot of times, what he's doing. And so I challenge you today, when God is silent, where are you at? Are you in the word, or are you looking to other ideas, thoughts, direction from other sources that are not from him? That's my challenge for you today. We're going to go into communion. And we're very thankful that God sent his son Jesus die on the cross for us, shed his blood for us as the ultimate sacrifice, and then rose 3 days later. There is proof. There's proof in the revelation of Jesus Christ. He was a man. He came. He lived. He did incredible things. He died and he rose again. And for those that struggle with believing in that, I pray that they step outside and see a different perspective. Just like people thought the earth was flat, but it's round because of a different perspective. And so as we take the emblem, as you take it off today, I want us to remember the body of Jesus that was broken for us. Let's take that together as we remember his beaten and bruised body. And at the same time, remember that there had to be a sacrifice. Blood had to be shed. And we take this as a symbol of remembering what Jesus did. But it didn't end on the cross. This was an important part, a very important part. But 3 days later, he rose from the dead and conquered defeat and brought us into that family. Let's take and remember. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your son, Jesus. For those that are seeking, Holy Spirit, we ask that you will direct and guide them. Help us to be the type of person that hears your voice and is able to step in and be there for someone who's on a journey, who's struggling, who needs to hear the word from you. But work in the lives of those that know you and that are seeking you, and those that don't know you, the ones that we pray for daily, that we ask that they would have a relationship with you, that they would see a perspective that's outside themselves, that they wouldn't believe in the lies of this world, that misdirect us from the truth. Help us to be logical, competent, intelligent believers in you, so that those that think that Christianity is just for the weak will understand, no, that's not what it is. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for what you have done. And even within all of this unknown in the world today, we thank you for what you're going to do in the future. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I hope you have a great week, and we are going to see you next Sunday. God bless.